Good morning, Council. The next matter on the calendar is Richard R. Ryan versus Christopher D. Lindquist. Council for appellant may proceed when ready. And will both counsel please identify yourselves when you reach the podium? Thank you.
Your Honors, my name is Jerry Korba. I'm the attorney for Richard Ryan. And I'm also known as the digital dinosaur. I'm known as the digital dinosaur because I didn't handle any computer work at my office. I had a wonderful paralegal, Cindy Rudick, who was with me for over 40 years. She handled everything. Unfortunately, she retired in October of 2017. Now, I don't know exactly how many years, more than 40, she worked for me, because she quit once, and I fired her once. The case is very interesting for me personally because Deborah Ryan, the deceased spouse, was 3 years old when I was dating her aunt. This was in 1957, and I was in 10th grade at Edison High School as a sophomore. And I'll always remember this being somewhat awkward socially as a teenage boy. The aunt, Betty St. Andrew, came to class with a beautiful cashmere sweater on, and I, thinking I was going to be cool, decided to pull a little thread on the collar, and the thread went all the way around her neck, and the collar fell off, and she didn't talk to me for weeks. In any event, here I am, 61 years later, representing her niece and the niece's spouse. Now, we have a rather peculiar circumstance here because we have a district court judge who did not mention our second cause of action whatsoever in her decision.
And that's the only cause of action you're trying to get back to the district court, right? You're not challenging the district court's judgment on the wrongful death claim?
No, we're not, Your Honor. But just briefly, I'm going to mention this. We really feel that we were correct in regard to the wrongful death action. Now, I've got four different medical doctor friends. When I've explained this case to them, how the doctors went in five different times in the same area with Deborah not having any immune defenses, they all, three of the four said this: the doctors can't keep mucking around in there. Now, I don't know if mucking is a medical term, but what they're talking about is you can't just keep putting surgical devices in the same spot when there isn't any immune defenses. In any event, we are unable to prove that. Dr. Acri from the Mayo Clinic says we don't know how the cancer came about. Dr. Fillmore from the Mayo Clinic says we don't know how the cancer came about. And my client, Dr. Eric Gordon Slater, indicated that it was a result of the numerous surgeries, the five different entries of the same cells. But we can't prove it, so we're not.
Just to clarify, I just want to make sure. Is the focus of your appeal a claim that the district court failed to address your client's claim for special damages related to injuries caused the decedent and for loss of consortium related to the time period prior to the detection of cancer?
Absolutely.
And those issues were argued to the district court, and the district court did not rule on those?
They were argued, and they have been present throughout these entire proceedings by way of the very first order of the court that appoints my client as wrongful death trustee and action trustee. And then, of course, he has his own private cause of action, the loss of consortium. So those are the two things that we're talking about here. Now,
we're talking about the time period from 3/10/2014 to January 20, 2015, when she was diagnosed with cancer. Is that correct?
Excuse me, I've got a bad cold, Your Honor.
Well, I'll talk louder. So we're talking about the special damages for the time period from 3/10/2014 to January 20, 2015. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
All right. And could you cite to any case law or any authority for the proposition that even you're claiming special damages, but where special damages would give rise to a loss of consortium claim?
The special damages, Your Honor, do not give any benefit to the claim for loss of consortium. The loss of consortium is a personal claim on the part of the husband, my client, Richard Ryan, for damages for the loss of the services of his wife during that same time period. We were not going to make any claim after the cancer was discovered, but only between March 10th, 2014, and when the cancer was discovered.
Well, I think the question is, if you agree that the law does not provide for a claim for personal injury following death, how can there be a claim for a loss of consortium if that is derivative of a personal injury claim?
The law indicates that the deceased cannot recover any of her pain and suffering. That does not mean that she hasn't had a personal injury. She has sustained a personal injury, and it's the result of the personal injury that the loss of consortium claim applies. Now,
Though she can't recover for that personal injury, nor can her survivors recover on the basis of that personal injury, the loss of you're arguing the loss of consortium claim is still viable.
That's correct. The survivors here, the husband, Richard Ryan, and the children cannot collect other than the loss of consortium. They can't claim any damages other than that.
Is there any case you can cite us to, though, where there's only been a special damages claim and there's been a derivative claim of loss of consortium?
No, I can't quote anything to you, Your Honor. I apologize for that. I'd appreciate it if the judges would put their hand underneath their ear. Would you please do that?
Yes.
And then open your mouth, okay, and you will see where the mandible bone moves.
Well, can I just stop, because you're running out of time, and there's one issue that was raised by the respondent that I think you need to deal with, and that is that while you have an expert here that is an expert on TMJ issues and dentistry issues, the expert is not does not know anything about this type of cancer or is not an oncologist. And therefore, because there's a dispute as to whether these symptoms and damages are due to the TMJ problem versus the cancer, your expert doesn't have the foundational basis to testify, because he's basically and the judge has found that he knows nothing about oncology. How do you respond to that argument?
We have never suggested to the court, this court or the district court, that our expert witness has anything to do with oncology. He has everything to do with dentistry. And we are not making any claims for any medical expenses that were incurred in the treatment of the cancer. Now, there was in excess of $800,000 spent for the entire overall medical treatment of Deborah. Our claim is for the $160,000 that was spent up to the time that the cancer was found.
So in addition to loss of consortium, you're attempting to recover for medical expenses incurred prior to the cancer diagnosis.
Exactly correct, Your
Honor. Damages under 573.02.
Pursuant to that statute, Your Honor.
But I think I'm not sure you're understanding my question.
Maybe
my question is, the argument is made that your doctor does not have the foundational basis to distinguish damages that are caused by TMJ as opposed to oncology-related injuries and damages and symptoms.
Yes, I would agree, Your Honor.
So because of that, they're claiming that your doctor isn't qualified on a foundational basis to testify in this case.
I would agree that that is their strongest argument. I'd like to, the foundation has to do with facts. Are there facts that present a foundation for Dr. Slater's opinion? We have objective findings and we have subjective findings. The objective findings is that Deborah, on March 10th, 2014, was 59 years of age. She normally weighed between 125 and 130 pounds. That she died on November 1st, 2015 by bleeding to death in her home. That the defendant, the respondent, Dr. Lindquist, attempted to remove 232, but he failed to do so. He broke off the tooth and left the tooth in her jaw. Now, the importance of that is that it shows force, too much force. prior to March 10th, 2014, on September 4th, 2013, she was treated by Dr. Boquet, who is one of the principals of the defendant 12th Street Dentistry. At that point in time, there was no TMJ, no temporal mandible or joint disorder noted by him. Also on February 4th, 2014, she was treated by Dr. Boquet, and he made a diagnosis that 231 had to be worked on, corrected, and 232 had to be pulled. There was no indication at that time that there was any TMJ disorder. From September 4th, 2013 till March 10th, 2014, the time of the attempted removal of the tooth, there was no complaints of pain other than in her right jaw. During the time period September 4th, 2013 through March 10th, 2014, there was no evidence of cancer. Also, and this is important, prior to March 10, 2014, there was no trauma to Deborah. She wasn't in an automobile accident. She didn't fall down on slippery sidewalks. and I'm running out of time, but I've
You will have 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Good. I appreciate that, and thank you.
Thank you. Counsel for respondent.
Good morning, Your Honor. Kate McBride here on behalf of the respondents, Dr. Lindquist and the dental practice. I'd like to get right to some of the questions that you indicated. In all fairness to the district court, 573.02 subdivision 2, which they say they can go forward on, says that when a person dies from a cause unrelated to injury caused by a wrongful act, and here we have that same wrongful act. In fact, they call it in that section of the complaint dental malpractice. In the district court, the plaintiff said that the wrongful act was the tooth extraction, which caused an injury, the dislocated jaw, and it allegedly then led to TMJ, no eating, and death. So the expert that they brought didn't differentiate between those injuries, and they didn't treat the TMJ separately. Moreover, they set, as proof of their damages, appellant came forward with one set of medical bills for $800,000 from first treatment to death.
Can I ask you, because I think we're well aware of the underpinning of the case and the facts of the case, but here's our issues. And as I look at that district court order, is there anything in that order that you can direct us to that deals with this claim of special damages?
Yes, I can.
Where is it, please? And
the important thing as a preface to that, because I do want to directly answer your question, but the most salient point that I want to make today is that there is no need to return this back because the result, which was dismissal of the entire case, flows from the correct legal conclusions that the court made. There's no need to turn it back to the district court to do what the legal conclusions that the court made compel. And what are those? And that gets to your question. So that was my preface, is that the legal conclusion, the most important legal conclusion, was that their expert does not have the expertise to opine on the cause and course, not just the cause, but the course of nasopharyngeal cancer. So that is her legal conclusion. And because of that, the expert, they have not presented an expert as they must.
But then the court's ruling was based on the ability of this expert and his qualifications, foundational reliability, to opine on a cause of cancer. That's very different, isn't it, than opining on the cause of the injuries occurring prior to the cancer diagnosis.
But the court didn't just say that he did not have the expertise to opine as to the cause. The court also said he does not have the expertise to opine as to the cause and course. Granted, it was not detailed, but that is a legal conclusion that compels the result that we are seeking, which is affirmance of the entire thing. And here's the two.
And I looked at the order, though, and the order starts out, and basically, I mean, the first paragraph says, and this is, I assume, the principal paragraph.
There's a
that says, here's where we're going, that said, this case concerns whether the tooth extraction and follow-up care either caused the cancer or, in the alternative, caused the resurgence of the cancer. So that seems to be what the focus of this order was. Where in this order does it go beyond that
and
talk about, you know, the problems that arose from the TMJ problem?
And I think what this court needs to consider is that if it were to send back, what would be the absolute compelled result? And is there a need to send it back when the court's correct legal conclusion And I'd like to get into that, because those are very, very significant, that this expert does not have the expertise to opine on the cause and course, because let's look at this.
Of cancer.
And
there's no longer a claim for death or injuries resulting from the cancer.
Okay, let's look into that specifically, because this is where we're at here. First of all, they say that the cause of these special damages, so he needs to do two things, provide factual foundation and have foundational reliability. And those are the two big problems that they have here. First, factual foundation, and I want to get to both of those. There is no admissible, no existing medical fact whatsoever that the jaw was dislocated, and everything flows from their claim that those special damages are the result of a jaw dislocation.
Okay, but if you have one expert who is qualified to address dislocation of a jaw, if you have one expert who believes that these injuries were the cause of dislocation that occurred because of the tooth extraction, and you have another expert who says there was no dislocation, isn't that simply a dueling of expert opinions?
Not whatsoever. And I say that categorically, because that expert can say there was a jaw dislocation. That expert did not examine her, and that expert must have medical record foundation for that opinion. That is, in Heiber, the Supreme Court said, an expert opinion not based on adequate factual foundation has no evidentiary value. There is no factual medical record support for the conclusion that her TMJ treatment was because of a dislocated jaw. Absolutely none. Zero. Zip. Nothing. So that's one piece. But let's get to the other piece, the foundational liability that you asked questions about initially. If he cannot differentiate between consequences flowing from a dislocated jaw and those flowing from nasopharyngeal cancer, and remember the symptoms are the same, he cannot say when the cancer developed, how the cancer developed, whether the symptoms she was receiving treatment for were caused by an extraction or developed because of TMJ. And if he cannot differentiate between what are the consequences flowing, then he cannot, and that is what the court said.
Well, and I understand your argument, and you made it very forcefully in your briefing. My question again is, where did the district court deal with that issue? The district court was very clear that this expert cannot testify regarding the wrongful death, because the expert had no expertise in cancer. I read it over and over. I don't see anything in here where the district court deals with that, whether this expert cannot testify because he's unable to differentiate between the symptoms. In fact, I don't think, based on the evidence, I'm not sure. I mean, you would concede that if we only had a TMJ problem, this expert could testify, right?
I wouldn't concede that based on, but be that as it may.
He certainly was qualified to testify about TMJ issues.
That's beside the point, though, because we aren't dealing with an isolated issue.
No, and I understand that, but the district court deal with these?
Again,
issue?
I cannot emphasize this enough, okay, that the court said he doesn't have the expertise to opine on the course.
Where is that in the court's order? Could you cite us, please?
I would love to.
In the district court.
Thank you.
I know that I probably cited the page.
I found it.
You found it?
Where is it? I think. Why don't you keep looking just in case?
I know I cited it in my brief because I was...
It's on page 12.
Thank you. That is significant because, of course, it bears the obvious here is that she did not contract. She didn't contract cancer.
So let me stop you because sure. I'll never get my question in otherwise. I mean, your brief says this is implicit in the district court's order. I read that as a concession, that the district court didn't expressly address whether or not the expert was adequate as to special damages unrelated to the cancer. But what I seem to hear you arguing is if the district court said this expert is not competent to say death was the result of cancer, he's also not competent to say whether other injuries weren't the result of cancer.
Exactly.
It's all one ball of wax.
You cannot say her treatment and the resulting medical bills, that's what he's here for, right? The treatment and the resulting medical bills
are not were
more
caused
like,
by cancer.
More likely than not, the result of the extraction rather than the undiagnosed cancer. And that is their burden.
Let me ask she you didn't this. On summary judgment, our standard of review is de novo, but as I understand it, when it comes to the admissibility of expert testimony, it's abuse of discretion. So I just want to make sure I understand what you're asking us to do. You're asking us to find that the district court's implicit ruling was not an abuse of discretion? Or it seems like you're just asking us to make the ruling for the first time on appeal. You're asking us to say,
absolutely
based
not.
On what the district court Sorry. Said, the district court, if asked, would say this expert is inadequate on this special damages issue, which you seem to be saying, don't send this back, it's a waste of time, we're going to end up in the same spot.
I'm saying that something different than that.
Okay.
And I think it's significant. What I'm saying is that this court, the district court made legal conclusions about this expert's ability to discuss the cause and course, and that is not
cause
implicit.
Cause and course of cancer.
Exactly. But if he can't do that, how can he say in July when she was having these symptoms that that was because of the dislocated jaw, for which there is no factual support, that was because of TMJ rather than cancer? These doctors who treated her at Mayo said she likely came in with this. She didn't contract the cancer the day that they diagnosed it. All of these symptoms were the same. The great imposter is TMJ. She was having all of these symptoms before the tooth
so
extraction.
So your position and would be to succeed on this claim, they need to bring in an expert that says these damages they're claiming were not the results of cancer.
They need to do the same thing they thought they did with this expert, and they didn't, and it's their burden of proof to come forward and say that these damages were more likely the cause of TMJ. Cancer had nothing to do with this, more likely than not. And doctors from Mayo said she was had advanced nasopharyngeal cancer. It is deep within the maxillary and posterior complex of the face, difficult to diagnose it. You can't see it. We wish we would have caught it earlier. They wouldn't have been doing the TMJ and figuring out why is this woman not responding to our TMJ treatment? Why are we doing all this and she's not getting better? Because she had cancer. And this horrible, terrible, hidden cancer deep from her right pharyngeal space, it surrounding and encasing the right internal and external carotid arteries, destroying the clivus of her skull, entering the left pharyngeal space. She had advanced cancer in January, and they said, we couldn't figure out why is she not responding to infection treatment? Why is she not responding to this? Why does she have so much pain? And if their expert can't say that treatment had nothing to do with cancer, that treatment for those symptoms for which we are seeking medical bills, if that wasn't the case, if that expert can't come and say that more probable than not, that was the reason that it was the extraction and jaw dislocation. And again, I don't think they get past go without any medical record, factual foundation for a dislocated jaw. Nothing, no record, zero. Nothing is in the record. And he can't just come in and say she had a dislocated jaw based on nothing. They have to come forward with that.
The district court's order mentioned that lack
no,
of
but
evidence?
Rule 5201 does not make, and this court never holds a district court liable or responsible for detailing every single fact issue that came before it. The court did its best in detailing a very long history of medical conditions.
Well, and again, I want to go back. So the only thing you can point to, I mean, I don't want to short-circuit this. The only thing you can point into is this one sentence then about the course and cause and course of the cancer?
There's nothing else specific, but the whole court's order about this expert's expertise. There is absolutely no need to send this back to do what the legal conclusions, and that's what the court was required to do, make legal conclusions. And the legal conclusion that court made was about the expertise of that, of this expert, who has no expertise and no factual foundation for his opinion, and that carries over to her treatment up until the day she was diagnosed with cancer. You don't get diagnosed with cancer and suddenly everything in the past, that the symptoms you've had nothing to do with that when you when you're diagnosed in January with advanced nasopharyngeal cancer. So that is what I'm saying, Your Honor, that the result flows from the result of a total dismissal flows from the correct legal conclusions which that court was bound to make, and she did. She did it, and she based it on the expertise of this doctor, this expert, to opine on the cause and course of nasopharyngeal cancer. And before I step down, I would just like to ask for affirmance and direct this court with regard to the accusations against my deceased partner, Barb Zurich, about intentionally withholding records. I addressed this on my reply in the district court in footnote 3. I won't waste your time, but that was uncalled for and unnecessary. Thank you.
Your Honors, what we have here is not just a dislocated jaw. The jaw was dislocated. That dislocated the discs. A disc kind of rides on top of the bone.
Where in the record is there evidence that there was a dislocated jaw?
MRI from Mayo Clinic, first of all. Secondly, Dr. Fillmore went in on his second surgery, looked at it and said that the disc looked good, but it was definitely dislocated, okay? Those are objective findings. We also have other objective findings. Deborah came home from the dentist's office after March 10th, 2014, and her whole head hurt. She was crying after driving 45 minutes to get home from the dental office. She was still crying when she got home. Now, tooth number 32 is in the right lower jaw. Why is her whole head hurting? Her whole head is hurting because not only is the disc dislocated on the right side, but it's dislocated on the left side. On the left side, it didn't need surgery because the disc was still there on top of the bone. It was called recapture. But on the right side, it was so dislocated that when you open the mouth and the top of the bone goes forward, it can't go forward because it hits the disc. That's why she can't open her mouth. Now, they talk about the symptoms of the cancer being quite similar to a TMJ disorder, and they're correct. They're quite similar. But we have objective findings, and they have no objective findings. Our objective findings are the MRI, the visual appearance of the actual disc by Dr. Fillmore. We have the...
Counsel, isn't the issue you're raising, and if we were to send this back, wouldn't the issue be whether the proffered expert affidavit was admissible on the issue of whether special damages could be recovered? That is, was there some sort of malpractice that led to injuries and medical expenses that were separate from the cancer?
That were suffered from the cancer? No. We are not claiming any medical expenses that were suffered by from the cancer. We're maintaining, and we the objective findings here, and even the subjective.
You're not claiming any damages that aren't caused or related to, that aren't related to the cancer?
We are not claiming any damages that are are related to cancer. We are only claiming damages that are not related to the treatment of any cancer.
So then my question is, wouldn't a court, whether it's this court or the district court, have to decide whether the expert affidavit you offered was sufficient to establish that there were damages unrelated to cancer?
That's correct, Your Honor. So with the lack of any objective findings on the part of any of the doctors, we can only conclude that the cancer was not causing all of these symptoms. The cancer could have, but the objective findings are in fact that the disc was dislocated. And as a result of the disc being dislocated, there was a 5 different surgeries. Now, the important thing, one of the important things is on the second surgery, excuse me, the very first surgery by Dr. Fillmore, where he sprayed a solution into the disc area, he took a specimen. That specimen did not show any cancer. There's no indication as to what happened to the specimen, but if it was cancer, it would have been noted. In addition to that, on November 21st, 2014, Deborah was seen at the infectious disease section of Mayo Clinic. And during the treatment of that infection, she had an infection of the mandible near the
Counsel, your time is actually up. So if you could wrap it up.
Let me make this point. They took cultures at that point in time at Mayo. No cancer was found. Thank you.
Thank you. The matter has been well argued, and it is taken under advisement. Thank you.